to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 125 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I'm going to get right into it because I got a big show lined up. It's going to be a fun one today. This weekend was so awesome. Was across the lake, spent the weekend in Minneapolis, which is just such an awesome city. I think I've said this before on the show, but man, Minneapolis did their downtown right. Public transportation is efficient. You need $2 transit ride from the airport to get dropped off 3 blocks from your hotel. Are you kidding me? Used it to get to and from the concert, ample bars, restaurants, clean. I absolutely love going to downtown Minneapolis. It is fantastic. So cool story from this weekend. Had tickets for Garth Brooks Friday night, U.S. Bank Stadium. And we're a little bummed because on Wednesday it was announced that Darius Rucker was opening for him on the Saturday show. I just love Darius Rucker. So we kicked around the idea of checking StubHub later in the weekend, maybe for some cheap seats for Saturday. Figured, what the hell? We're already going to be here. Why not go both nights? So we were sitting at the hotel bar Thursday night, having a drink after checking in, all that good stuff. And saw that they released extra seats for both nights right behind the stage, which Garth's stage, if you have not seen Garth, it's an open stage. He dudes a machine, runs around the whole stage. So we knew we weren't going to see him front and center the whole concert. But for face value seats, let's see what happens. So we go both nights, Friday night, just awesome. It just incredible energy, music, loved it. So we're sitting on the Ticketmaster app seeing if we can get tickets for Saturday and ended up doing so. And like the first couple searches, it was giving me like fifth row and I kicked those back. A few minutes later gave me second row and I'm like, done deal. Well, it turns out second row was really front row because the front row only had 6 seats and we were seats 8 and 9 of row 2. So front row on the stage, inches away from Garth Brooks and Darius Rucker. It was just an incredible experience. 2 great shows, great weekend. If Garth, he's doing this big stadium tour. If he comes to your town, stadium tour, even if you're not a country music fan, everybody knows Friends in Low Places, Shameless, and Rodeo. Like, it is worth the price of admission just to hear him go do those 3 songs. I couldn't recommend it more, going and seeing Garth Brooks. Just incredible. And speaking of incredible things, it is crazy to think that MIS is just over a month away. And like I said, I have already started preparations for the MIS show and MIS race weekend, which included last night on Twitter, if you missed it, an awesome giveaway. Firekeepers Casino, the sponsor of the June race at MIS, has donated 2 pairs of tickets, a $100 gift card, and I've thrown in some t-shirts and had some Firekeeper stuff left over from last year. I've turned this into a 3-pack prize pack here, 3 separate prizes. Prize number 1 is a pair of tickets, Lap Traffic Firekeepers Casino t-shirt. Got 2 of those, and then the 3rd prize is a $100 gift card to Firekeepers Casino. All you got to do is retweet and follow me at Lap Traffic PC, at Firekeepers Casino, at MIS Speedway, and at Joey Logano, because all 3 winners are getting an autograph of Joey Logano, compliments of Firekeepers Casino. Joey is going to be out there on Thursday night for a meet and greet, which is awesome. So I can't thank Firekeepers enough, MIS enough for their support. Awesome giveaway. All you got to do is go follow those 4 and retweet. And on May 22nd, I am going to give all 3 prizes away live on Periscope before the show. And what's so special about May 22nd? Well, MIS track president Rick Brenner is going to be on the show. And someone from Firekeepers is calling in. I think that's going to be awesome. A race sponsor calling in, talking about, you know, what goes into the decision-making process to sponsor a race. You know, what it's like as a sponsor. What are your duties race weekend? You know, so I think that's going to be awesome. A pumped show May 22nd to help promote MIS weekend. Got the giveaway and more cool stuff to come, which is awesome. I'm so excited about that. Don't forget to go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment, your home for Michigan sports and entertainment. Tons of podcasts out there. It's been awesome networking with these guys. Tons of podcasts out there. I've checked out a couple of them. It's really cool. You've heard a couple of the promos on the show during the social media segment, so go check that out. All right, so awesome race weekend too, right? Kind of, sort of. There was some horsies going on. We'll get to that a little bit. You know, what? Obviously being out of town, had to DVR the truck and Xfinity race. Had planned on getting back into town to at least catch third stage on Sunday, but that didn't happen. Ended up having to DVR all three races and catch up on the DVR, which is a bummer, you know, because inevitably you're hitting the fast forward button a little bit. You know the results. It is next to impossible to stay in the bubble, especially if you're on social media. But all caught up and ready to talk some racing from the Monster Mile. Big show lined up today. Briar Starr from Speedway Media will be on, which I'm pretty excited about. Briar covers trucks. He's going to stick around, talk some racing. You guys know how much I love the trucks. Recap the Xfinity and Cup race as well from Dover. Social media shout-outs. Aaron will be on to talk weather for Kansas. Lucky dog lap down, some fantasy to close it out. You guys know the drill. All right, let's get things rolling. Man, this was a long intro. I did a seven-minute monologue. Good Lord. All right, sorry about that. All right, let's get things rolling. Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is a writer for SpeedwayMedia.com. He loves the truck series like I do. Had his resume on Chris Buescher's car, Mr. Briar Starr. Sir, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Glad to be on the show. We had a decent weekend. Had to deal with some tornadic activity last night, but it's all good, safe and sound. So
fantastic. Yeah. Did you take in the Derby at all this past weekend and all the shenanigans that came with that?
The Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch any of it, but I heard the news of what happened, and I went on Twitter and saw all the drivers tweeting about it. And I thought, I thought that was pretty crazy. So.
Well, you know, I comment all too often on social media and people losing their minds over things. Man, they lost their mind on Saturday,
right?
Which, you know what, to be fair, not that I'm like this diehard Kentucky Derby guy or anything like that. I mean, I literally will just watch the three main races and all that. But, you know, when I look at what's considered blocking on a racetrack with cars versus what I saw there, I'm like, let them race. You know, what are we talking about here, man? Like, you know, you didn't take out the field. You know, he just maybe spotter just didn't. He gave him the all clear a little too early. That's all.
Yeah, at least he did knock down all the horses. Or
yeah, absolutely.
Fall down. So he didn't do that. I mean, he was still fine. So.
But hey, I'm not going to pretend like I should comment any further than that because I have no idea. All right, so Briar and I got hooked up by our now mutual friend, Mr. Aaron Studwell, who will be on later. Briar did a piece on him. I got a hold of Aaron, and boom, here we are. And we've chatted a bit throughout the week, and I'm actually really excited to have you on tonight to talk, get to know you a little bit better, and talk some racing here. So did you get to watch the Cup race live, or were you part of the 99% that had to watch partly on your phones at work and then rewatch afterwards?
Well, I'm kind of a freelance journalist. I currently don't really have a job right now, like a real job, if you want to say that.
Sure.
And so I was one of the lucky ones that got to stay at home and watch the whole race on Monday. So
fantastic. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into NASCAR, how you got hooked up with Speedway, and all that good stuff.
So I went to school in Emporia State University. So I'm from Clint Boyer's home state of Kansas.
Excellent.
He's a pretty big name around here.
Right.
So I have a degree in public relations. Well, it's actually communication, but the emphasis part is in public relations. So I guess I'm kind of a specialty in that area. But yeah, I'm from Kansas, and my parents have always been huge NASCAR fans. My grandma has been a huge NASCAR fan, so it's kind of like in our family.
Cool.
I grew up watching it every weekend. We've always had the TV on, and it just kind of grew on me, and I'm kind of taking it a little further than what most people would. So.
I hear you there.
Yep. And then on the Speedway Media stuff, actually, I started my own blog several years ago. And because I asked somebody in the racing world, it was actually another podcast. They had this Twitter segment, and I was just like, hey, you know, I'm trying to break into the sport. How can I break in? And they're like, well, you could start your own blog, or you could do your own podcast, or you could do whatever, because it's so easy to start whatever you want to do nowadays with all this access we have to technology.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, okay, well, I'll start my own blog and see how it goes. My first driver interview was actually Noah Gragson.
Oh, awesome.
Yep, who at the time was racing in the Canon West Series. And so that was a long time ago. And then like my other names include Julia Landauer when she was racing, Garrett Smithley, Alan Bestwick, and just the names go on and on. So I have been pretty successful at obtaining some interviews. And then I happened to be scrolling around one day on my laptop. I was trying to get more recognizable, and I came across Speedway Media, and they had this request form where you can fill out a request to be a writer for them. And to be honest with you, I was actually really hesitant on if I should do this or not. Like, will this work? Will this not work? And I'm like, oh, the heck with it. I'll just submit my request to become a writer. And sure enough, they brought me on, and everybody always covers the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series. They didn't really have a rider for the Trek Series, so I took the opportunity to cover the Trek Series, and I loved it ever since.
That's awesome. With Speedway Media, is it just NASCAR? Do they cover a variety of auto racing, or what type of information can people find at Speedway Media?
So we cover kind of just mainly NASCAR. We do have some writers that will cover a little bit about IndyCar. I think Formula One just a little bit. I try to cover the ARCA series when it's not a conflict with the Truck Series, because we all know they kind of like to run at the same time with each other.
Have you talked not to cut you off there, but have you talked to Charles Kroll?
Yes. Okay. I'm actually social media friends with him, and we kind of communicate here and there.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, that's what we have on our website. We have power rankings every week. I do a power ranking for the Truck Series. I try to keep up to date on that. Four takeaways, like what I have learned from the Truck Series race. It's kind of like to wrap the whole weekend up. And then we move on to the next race already on Wednesday or Thursday, and we do a preview. So it's kind of nonstop, and then I throw in an interview here or there at least once a month. Like a couple weeks ago, I interviewed Brittany Samora. She races in the Canon West Series, and that was a pretty fun interview. So, yeah, that's kind of like what we all do at Speedway Media.
That's awesome. I love that. That's so cool. All right, I got to hear the story about how you got your resume on Chris Buescher's car. What was that like from an experience? What came from that? Anything positive? Obviously, I assume some positive. You got some recognition out there. But what was that whole ordeal?
So it's kind of funny. So one day I was kind of scrolling on Twitter, and I had a notification pop up in my mentions, and it was actually one of my friends that I had worked with at a radio station when I was in school, and he just tagged me in it, and I'm like, I saw it. It was actually Jeff Gluck who tweeted that out, and I was like, oh, well, that's cool, and I'm like, you know, I didn't really think much about him, and I was like, well, maybe I'll go ahead and enter it, and to be honest with you, I had, like, really low expectations, because who knows how many college graduates there are out there. I mean, there's tons of college graduates, and I really didn't think I was going to have a realistic opportunity to, like, move on. I feel like my resume was probably going to be lost within of how many entries, because this is NASCAR we're talking about. And so I went ahead and submitted it. I think there was, like, a deadline within a week or so you had to submit it. And truthfully not, they actually got back to me, and we continued to chat, and move on. They interviewed me and asked me how this would help stand out. And so my questions and answers actually were good enough to move on, and I actually ended up winning the contest. And so funny thing was, I had received an email saying that I had won this contest, and I was so excited. I was getting ready to post on Facebook, and I was 30 seconds away from posting, and I had received an email from them, and they were like, please do not share anything on social media.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I was like, holy cow, I almost put the click post on my Facebook page, and I'm so glad I did not. But I was like, okay, delete, and then just like escape button, and I had to keep quiet about it for a whole month. That was so hard for me.
Oh, that'd have been brutal.
I know, and I was just so excited because I couldn't tell anyone. I couldn't tell all my friends, and when the time came, it was actually after a month. There was the race week of Las Vegas, and they had announced it, and I was finally able to announce it on my social media pages.
Sure.
And everybody was so excited for me, and I was really excited, and they paid me and my dad actually got to go out there to Las Vegas, see the car in person, and I had never been to Las Vegas before. I had never been on an airplane before.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was a couple of first-time experiences. One of the highlights of the weekend was we went to a Queen concert, which was Adam Lambert, and we had to sit higher up in the concert area, but the customer service said, oh, no, you're going to sit lower down the stage, which was like, okay, we'll sit closer down the stage. And we walked past by these two people, and because they got up and let us in, and we sat down. We didn't even realize who they were. Well, my dad pointed out Ricky Stenhouse is actually two seats down from him.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the show went on, and I was, like, looking at this guy sitting next to my dad, and I'm just like, I swear I know this guy from somewhere. And I just, like, I know this guy, and I finally figured out it was Kevin Harvick who was actually sitting next to my dad.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'd have lost my mind because, as everybody knows, Kevin Harvick's my guy. So, man, I'd have lost my mind.
Oh, trust me. I was kind of loose in my mind, too, but I had to be in a respectful way.
Absolutely, and
And we got to shake hands, and we actually got to talk to each other for a little bit, and we got pictures after the show. And so Kevin was pretty cool about it, and that was probably the top highlight of the weekend was with the resume car as well.
That's awesome. So, you know, I collect diecasts. I've got a decent amount of them, and I know that everyone loves to collect, like, you know, if it's their sponsor or who, you know, there's a special car. But I know, you know, some of the, let's say, lower tiered drivers don't necessarily get the diecast love out there.
Right.
Did they make a diecast of that car? Were you able to get a replica of that? Because that would have been a pretty cool thing to get.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think Lionel had ever, like, offered the car or anything. I know there are some people who make custom cars.
Sure.
And so at some point, I'm going to reach out to them and say, hey, you know, my real resume was on an actual race car, and I would love to get this made up and just to have it on,
absolutely,
have it on display.
Absolutely. All right, so before we get to talking some racing from this past weekend, let's just talk a little in general about the Truck Series, since you cover that, and I love the Truck Series. You know, I tell people all the time, if you haven't watched a race, watch the Truck Series. You will be hooked. Mm-hmm. I have gotten many of people hooked on coming over, hanging out, having a couple drinks, watching some Friday Night Trucks.
Right, yeah. Last year, for example, I mean, we had a lot of great races, and one that sticks out to my mind is the Iowa race, where I think it was Brett Moffitt and somebody else, maybe Noah Gregson, I can't remember, but, I mean, they had a thrilling finish to the line, and then Chicago, where John Hunter Nemechek ran out of fuel on the last lap, and Moffitt went on by and won, so yeah, I mean, you really can never say it's over in the Truck Series until the checkered flag actually falls on the racetrack.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I wanted to get your take on, you know, when I look at the playoff points in the Truck Series, it looks like I'm looking at the Xfinity Series playoff points from years past. You know, you look at the playoff points that are typically earned in the Xfinity Series, and you don't see too many playoff points earned by series regulars. And typically the Truck Series, you tend to have a few more playoff points earned by the regulars. And this year, it's kind of flipped. Do you agree with that?
As in where the Xfinity guys are winning more than the Truck Series guys?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I believe so. I mean, you know, we've had Kyle Busch in the field for what, four races now, right?
Yep. I think
so. And he's won all four of those races, which is pretty remarkable because I could never do that. And so, but yeah, it does feel like that a little bit. I'm sure once we get into the summer months where we go to tracks like Iowa and Gateway and Chicago, all those tracks where there's not as much Cup guys in the field, I'm sure that the Truck Series regulars will start standing out against the Xfinity Series. But it does kind of feel like that this year where, you know, we've seen Cole Custer started to win a whole lot and all those other guys as well. So, yeah, to your point, it does feel like the Xfinity Series is standing out more than the Truck Series,
yeah,
which is good because the Xfinity Series the past couple of years had not been as great as the Truck Series.
Absolutely.
Has either.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I say that too because, you know, the Truck Series, you know, shorter season, you know, kind of leaves you wanting more. I know it does for me. There's only 10 truck races left in the regular season, which is kind of crazy to think and you know, talk about, you know, playoffs. I get it in May, but there's only 10 left till we set the field. And the fact that there aren't a lot of guys that have earned a lot of playoff points, you know, you mentioned Iowa, Gateway. You know, you get to some of these, you know, unique tracks like Eldora, you know, the Bristol Night Race, you throw that in there. The Truck Series is only going to get better and heat up as the season progresses here.
Yeah, and I think that's why that's what makes the Truck Series stand out than the Cup Series because in the Xfinity Series, because the Truck Series, they don't visit all of these tracks twice. They only visit them once, and to be honest, I'm not trying to be biased here, but I wish they would come to Kansas twice. But because I love Truck Series and I want to see them more. And but yeah, you know, they only visit a couple of tracks at least once, and then they do visit a couple of tracks like twice, like Texas and
Martinsville.
Martinsville, and that's about it. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, sir, what do you say we move along and talk some racing from this past weekend at Dover?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, well, it has been since the end of March, but we are finally able to talk about some truck racing that went on. I'm very excited. Brett Moffitt picking up the Stage 1 win. Johnny Sauter picking up the Stage 2 and bringing home the checkered flags there. Brett Moffitt, first career pole. Brett Moffitt has been on quite the roll the last two seasons here, sir.
Yeah, and he's actually starting to probably come into his own here a little bit. And we're going to some of these tracks that he last year where he just really went on a tear last summer and just like winning races and won the championship last year. I don't know if I would expect him to be on fire as much as if you would have put it that way this year, just because he's got the new team now with GMS, and I still expect him to probably win a couple of races, and I'm sure he'll be in the playoff challenging for the championships. But yeah, he was definitely pretty solid on Friday for at least the first half of the race, and then kind of seemed like his truck went away a little bit there in the probably the middle part of the race. He finished third in Stage 2, and then there was that hold-your-breath moment there where Harrison Burton made that three wide dive bomb move after that restart.
Yes, and I remember that.
That was pretty crazy because I don't know how they were able to hang on three wide for like a lap, because like I said, I would have been able to do that. I probably would have wrecked that truck in turn one.
A couple laps before that, it looked like Moffitt was there on Sauter's bumper, and I thought he was going to pass him. And I think had it not been for Harrison Burton closing the gap on Moffitt, he probably would have been able to. But Burton there slowed Moffitt up a little bit, which was kind of unique from what we saw in the Xfinity and the Cup race. It was really just first and second place that were able to keep it close. Once you got to third, for most of the Xfinity and Cup race, third place was a good 4 or 5 seconds back throughout most of the race. Obviously, there were some instances where they were closer, but like you said, Burton dive bombing that there really, really made things interesting. I got a vent for a minute because, 5, 6 o'clock Eastern start time, man, that's early for people trying to get home on a Friday night to watch the start of that race. I'm not a fan of that, sir. I'm going to be honest there.
Yeah. I mean, I know Dover doesn't have lights, but I mean, they could probably, the Xfinity race started so early on Saturday afternoon, like I think it was like 12:30 Eastern or something, like 1 o'clock.
I see where you're going with this. I see where you're going.
Yeah. Make it a doubleheader. I mean, if it's going to be at Dover, make it a doubleheader. I mean, I know it's kind of hard for NASCAR to do that and look at that and say, hey, should we make this a doubleheader or not? Because then you got to, Sunday we were dealing with all that weather issue, and you never know if, hey, all three races could be rained out, and that's not good either.
Sure.
So it's kind of tough to be like, yeah, it's easy to say, well, yeah, let's put the track series after the Xfinity race where, was sunny this past weekend, but
yeah, they did that. They did that at Atlanta, right. Xfinity first, followed by truck, which is pretty cool. I enjoyed that. Had the privilege to be at Atlanta to see that, and it was a lot of fun for a first experience there. That was a blast. You mentioned earlier, you know, Moffitt dominated stage one. It was caution-free. Moffitt led all of the laps, picking up his first stage win of the year. You know, we talked about, you know, is he going to have the dominance? And here we are, what, five, six truck races in, and that's his first stage win of the year. Matt Crafton from the back up to the top 10 at the end of stage one. He had some issues there a little bit, but was able to rebound. But once he got up to the top 10, he had a hard time moving in stage two, able to bring it home third there. And stage two kind of mirrored stage one up until about eight to go when Sauter was able to use a pick move to get by Moffitt. Crafton, like I said, struggled, plateaued a little bit there. But Johnny Sauter picks up the stage two win. What was it Crafton had going on there? At loose wire, something like that under the hood.
Yeah, apparently from reading on Twitter from the other reports, and then I think I know FS1 kind of a quote-unquote official report where I think it was a plug wire that came off Crafton's truck there. I think it was after stage two was over with, and I think that was what was causing problems for Crafton not to get up there and battle for the lead where he is supposed to be. And they, surprisingly or not, they actually got it fixed, and they were able to rebound to a fifth place finish. But I know, reading from Twitter and Crafton's post race comments, I think Crafton was kind of glad to be done with Dover after that.
Yeah, so. It was not friendly to a lot of people throughout all three series. Let's see. First yellow for on-track incident came out as the 7 of Forrester goes around, coming out of turn four with about 89 laps to go. Restarted with 83 with Sheldon Creed to the point, and had a pretty long 35 green flag run there with Creed holding over Burton for about half a second. But then we got our second caution of stage three as the 22 and the 4 of Todd Gilliland, who was on the show last week. Cheap plug there. Restarted with about 41 to go. Sheldon Creed goes around. He was having a great day, led 59 laps. Bummer to see that happen. And then Todd Gilliland again, wrong place, wrong time. Got into it. Let's see, was it with, not Ben Rhodes? He got into it with somebody there. Hold on.
Tyler Ankrum, I believe.
Yes. That sounds good to me there. Ben Rhodes took the lead on that restart. That's where my notes were going with that one there. Crafton was able to rebound up to ninth after restarting stage three at about 20th there. So he definitely got back on the move. I tell you, Crafton has probably had the most frustrating season and a half of his career. You know, every once in a while breaks into the top five, gets a top five here and there, but he struggles and has been hanging around, you know, 10th place finishes, which I know are not up to Matt Crafton standards.
Yeah, and it's going to be, gosh, it's really surprising to see, like you said, how bad Crafton has struggled. And I know he can do it because he's a two-time champ.
Right.
And if he can't get it done, I mean, man, it's going to be 2 years now in July where he has not won any race. And that, if you would have told me that 2 years ago after he won Outdoor and somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know, he's going to go on a two-year winless streak, I've been like, no way, Crafton, he's going to win at least maybe two or three races throughout the season. And, yeah, he just has not had the luck that he needs. He's kind of a Kyle Larson in the Trek Series, if you would like to compare that. But yeah, I think they should be able to. He's got some pretty good tracks coming up here. I don't think he's won at Kansas yet, so that will be I'll actually be there this weekend, so I don't know if he'll be able to pull it off there or not. But yeah, he's definitely does not have the luck at all currently.
No, he has struggled, to put it mildly. So to finish the truck race, we had a five-lap shootout with Sauter and Moffitt on the front row. Sauter able to hold on for the win, for the first win for him for 2019, and only the second series regular to win in 2019. First series regular since Austin Hill at the Daytona 500 there. Couple notable, Sauter Moffitt really battled 1-2 all day, especially during stage 1 and 3. Rookie Harrison Burton with a third place at the Monster Mile. It's pretty impressive for a rookie to go and tackle the Monster. Crafton able to rebound to a top 5. Lassurde brings it home 11th. And lap traffic alum, rookie Gus Dean with a top 15. Pretty decent finishes from some younger talent out there, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and I think one notable that stands out to me is Derek Cross, who is probably only making his second or third Trek start for Bill McAnally, and he finished in the eighth position, so that's another top 10 for that number 19 team there.
Fantastic. Good call there, sir. I like that one. Recap the standings real quick. Grant Enfinger is in first. Johnny Sauter second. Stuart Friesen third. Brett Moffitt fourth. Ben Rhodes fifth. Matt Crafton sixth. Harrison Burton in seventh. Austin Hill wraps out the top eight for the cut line as we stand. Notable not in the top eight is Todd Gilliland, who, like I said, mentioned last week, they are they've not been happy with their finishes and are definitely looking to improve. And 20 points out from the cut line as it is right now. But, you know, Todd's still searching for that first win, and I think that team's going to get it rolling and are going to find victory lane at some point in time this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just not have had a lot of luck this year, and I know he's faced a lot of criticism and comments. And but I mean, he's a good driver. I mean, he won a lot in the Canaan West, Canaan East. He won that ARCA race there at Talladega, and so he could get it done. It's just a matter of luck and timing. And one thing I was going to point out too about from the Trek race is this is Johnny Sauter's first win of the season, and it's already six races in. You know, I thought maybe he was already going to win already at Atlanta or Vegas or somewhere like that. And so just to kind of see Sauter finally break through, which was kind of surprising, not that he has not won a race at all before Dover. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. Trucks back on the track this weekend with another Friday night race. This time everyone should be home from work, as this one doesn't kick off until about 8:30 Eastern Standard Time from Kansas. Definitely looking forward to that. Sir, let's move over to the Xfinity Series. Stage 1 and 2 dominated by Cole Custer. But Christopher Bell picks up another win and the Dash for Cash win. This was the last Dash for Cash race. Bell started fourth. Reddick, last week's winner, started fifth. Briscoe in seventh. And Galding, who had a hell of a run last week at Daytona, starting eighth, which was pretty cool that all those guys were able to start up front, which was very cool. I love the Dash for Cash. I love the attention that it brings. I love the fact that every once in a while you get a long shot like a guy like Greg Galding, who probably, you know, there weren't high expectations for him to go out there and win it, but it got him, it got the team some extra TV time and mentions, which is always a good thing there. So I love what the Dash for Cash does for the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, it's a great program that they, I can't remember when they introduced it. I know it was a couple of years ago when they introduced it, but it's pretty neat just to see the Xfinity Series guys just kind of stand alone without, you know, the Cup guys racing in there when there's a Dash for Cash. And you never know who's going to break through, but Christopher Bell, I mean, last year he won seven races, and so he's already on a tear this year, I think, with three wins or something like that already.
Yeah, yep, three wins, four stage wins, 19 playoff points. So, yeah, he is well on his way there. Let's see.
Yeah, and I think...
Oh, go ahead.
I think another one that stands out is Tyler Reddick, too. he's kind of been easing in there, if you want to say that. He's kind of a, I don't know what you call it, but quiet racer. He doesn't really make a whole lot of noise, but when he does, he is up there in the front, and ends up winning these races.
He's the Kurt Busch of the Xfinity series, maybe.
Right.
Just quietly wrapping off these top fives and top tens, you know, and like last year, you know, he goes out, wins Daytona, wins Homestead, and that's enough to win the championship. Like, you know, not mediocre, but, you know, just a quiet, good middle of the season and goes out and gets it done, you know, and he's got a win already this year, too, which is very, very, very cool for him. Stage one and two were very similar, mirrored each other quite a bit. Cole Custer dominated them. That's why I believe he led every lap for stages one and two. Stage one did not have a whole lot of movement going on out there on the track, spaced out kind of like the truck race with about, you know, half a second between first and second, and then third and fourth on back, you know, we're talking 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. Obviously, more so with the cup race, but the package took a beating on social media, as it does.
Right.
You know, second stage saw a little bit more movement, but really that was just amongst the top five. You know, you saw a little movement up there between Allgaier, Reddick, Custer, Bell. Well, Custer was out front, but, you know, those top four kind of bounced around a little bit. But, it was definitely hard to pass in both, maybe even all three series. I think the truck series saw a little bit more movement just because those guys were so loose out there on the track. But, Xfinity series, you know, not a whole lot going on during stages one and two.
No, there really wasn't. You know, I thought when Custer won stage one and stage two, I thought, man, this is going to be another of those races where a driver is going to dominate. Let's see, how many laps did they do? I think 200. Yeah, 200 laps. I thought for sure that Custer is going to do like what he did at Homestead a couple of years ago, where he just had his best car and he just led the rest of the way and nobody could touch him. And I thought it was going to be one of those races because he did have a very strong car, but then those cautions breed cautions.
Absolutely. He led a good chunk into stage three. Custer, Bell, and Reddick kept things close at the start. But there was a long green flag stretch with about 50 laps with Custer out front. And Custer lost this race on pit road when Bell was able to beat him out front. If Custer was able to win the race off pit road there, I think he probably would have won that race. But, you know, clean air dominates at a track that you can't pass at, obviously. And so Bell being able to get ahead on pit road, that really kind of sealed the deal. You know, we had a couple restarts there where things could have got a little interesting. You know, the final restart was on lap with 14 to go, with Bell out front over Allgaier, Reddick, and Briscoe. But, no one really had anything for the leader in this one.
And like you said, clean air was pretty much key. I know Johnny Sauter talked about that in his post-race press conference. He said, I'm just paraphrasing what he says, but he's like, just clean air was key, and whoever could get out front was just going to pull away and pretty much dominate and win the race. And that's pretty much what we've seen from the Xfinity series. And without that caution, who knows? You know, Custer probably would have ended up lapping the field.
Right. So. Yeah. let's see. There were 13 cars finish on the lead lap in the Xfinity series, and I think, only 11 on the lead lap in the Cup series. And on the Truck series, we had 15. So, yeah, that was no pun intended. There was some lapped traffic out there. let's see here. So Bell picks up the win, really on pit road, like I said, picking up his third win and his second Dash for Cash win. Custer, after dominating early, brought it home fourth. rookie John Hunter Nemechek finished eighth with a little beat and bang into the line there with him. And Daytona winner Michael Annette with a nice top 10, and even rookie Chase Briscoe with a top 5. So rookies in both the truck and Xfinity Series, a couple of those guys were able to bring home a solid finish at the Monster Mile. The final Dash for Cash, Greg Alding finished 20th, but awesome job by that team at Talladega to just get them that chance. Like I said, that extra TV time and exposure is awesome for the team, the sponsor, all that. And I think it was cool that three of the four guys finished in the top five. Briscoe fifth, Riddick third, and Bell picking up the win there. That was very cool.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I really thought Greg Alding was going to win that race at Talladega.
Oh, that would have been so cool. He was there. He had, you know, if he had just gotten a little bit of a push, he might have. And, you know, I can see maybe why he didn't get the push. You know, it's you know, not someone typically up at the front, not someone you typically think as a plate racer, so to speak. But man, he was there. It was close. That would have been very cool. Awesome. Would have been awesome to see that.
Yeah, it would have been quite something. I know me and a bunch of friends were messaging back and forth like, man, we're just kind of hoping Greg Alding won that race because it just have been a cool story.
Absolutely. The Xfinity Series has a couple off weeks here. Next time these guys will be on the track is Saturday, May 25th in Charlotte. All right, let's talk to big boys here. Cup race and Monster Mile. Joey Logano picking up the stage one win, and Martin Truex Jr. getting the stage two and the race win. Back to single car qualifying. What's your thoughts there, sir?
I love it. I wasn't really feeling group qualifying anymore, especially after California. I just thought it was a huge mess, and it just didn't get better at Texas either, and so I was kind of over group qualifying, I guess is what you call it.
Sure.
And so I'm kind of glad to see single car qualifying back what I grew up with.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, racing is all about nostalgia for a lot of people, which I'm totally down with. I didn't hate single car qualifying. I didn't hate the group qualifying. So my genius idea was, all right, let's narrow down, you know, let's have, you know, if we're at like a place like Michigan or Fontana that's got, three stages for qualifying, you know, run the first two group qualifying, and then whoever makes it to the top 12, run your top 12 as single car. That way everybody's happy. You're still able to keep it as a condensed TV time thing. Everyone still gets a little exposure. And everybody gets both things, but you know, apparently NASCAR does not listen to the Let Traffic podcast. Otherwise they could have taken credit for that fantastic idea I had there, but I digress. let's see here. Chase Elliott jumped out to an early, second lead within a couple laps. Competition caution, lap 40. Let's talk about competition cautions. I was talking with Sherwin from PETM a couple weeks ago. When the whole competition caution thing came up, and I am on the wagon here of with stages, I don't think competition cautions are needed. You've already got a built-in guaranteed stage break. The tires are hard. You know, there's not a lot of wear. It's not a soft tire anymore. Like, do we really? You know, are in the modern era of stage racing, do we need competition cautions?
You know, that's a good point. It's really tough to say because when we didn't have the stages, that was kind of our quote unquote stage break.
Sure.
Like way back in the day.
Absolutely.
Like in the thousands when we had these competition cautions. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think when we're having these stage breaks now, I don't think the competition cautions really mean anything anymore. I mean,
one of my biggest issues with it is, and I guess I'd be a little bit more okay with a comp caution As I love the stage racing. I do. I am in favor of it. Every once in a while, we get some dramatic finishes there at the end of the stages, which I think is fantastic. My biggest critique of stage racing is that we count the caution laps between the stages. If we have a caution for an on-track incident, fine. You know, if we got to count the caution laps, I'm cool with that. But if we're manufacturing brakes, why do we need to count the laps? And, you know, I get, you know, well, the races are already long. I get all of that. But if you're manufacturing something like a caution for the brake, and I get the whole concept behind that, I'm cool with all of that. But I just don't think we should count the laps. So if they didn't count the laps, I guess maybe I'd be okay with it. But I just, from that regard, there's so much starting and stopping already. Wasted laps. Wasted laps with these things.
Right.
I think Bristol, it was 11 laps under for each stage break, 22. I get it's a short track, but, man, 11 laps, that's a lot. That's not under potential green flag conditions there.
Right, and I can think of an example, too, Trek Series. I think at Pocono last year, where it's only 50 laps and it's already a short race, and so we already have like a stage caution on lap 10 or something like that,
right?
And already count these laps, and you're only getting like maybe what 7% under racing, so we're not getting much racing done in there either.
Absolutely. Let's get back to the race. So stage one, Logano pretty much able to pick up the stage win by only taking two tires, winning the battle off pit road, which ended up being the right move, able to hold off the field, pick up the stage one win. Before that caution, he was about 4 seconds back in third. So good move, good pit strategy. Get track position. Two tires only needed to go about 10 to 12 laps, before they were going to come back down for the stage break anyways. So good call there. Brought it home seventh overall. Kind of fell off there in stage two. If you got the way to go and get that stage win, we've seen that happen a couple times this year with Ty Dillon using some pit strategy to go out there and get a couple playoff points. Seen it in the Xfinity series with, I think, Ryan Sieg used some pit strategy, took no tires one race. You look like a genius if it works, but if not, you're just making matters worse where you're going to end up restarting anyways to start the second stage there. So, if you, like I said, you can make it work, you look like a hero.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you mentioned, probably one of the bigger stories of the year, at least in the Cup Series, is Ty Dillon winning a stage, and we don't really see that a whole lot from the other guys that don't run up front as much as the other guys do, and that kind of makes a huge difference where, hey, we stay out, everybody else pits, there's only like three to go, we kind of got a 60% chance of winning this stage.
Sure.
So, and track position means everything, like we seen this past weekend at Dover.
Absolutely. Stage two, let's see. This one, man, it went green the whole way. Got a couple rounds of green flag pit stops in, which spaced things out a little bit. I was pleased to see a three-way battle for stage two, really. Top three within a half second of each other towards the end of this one, with Bowman, Martin Truex, and Harvick. Bowman able to get up, lead a few laps here, but Martin Truex Jr. comes away with the win. But, man, Bowman, pretty good couple weeks here for Bowman the showman, starting to shine in that 88 car.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to get the job done yesterday. I just thought if maybe there was a late race caution that shoved the field up again, but then you would have had the comments of like, oh, well, there was late race caution, he got lucky of winning or something like that. But he finished second at Talladega to his teammate, Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott's been on a roll here, too. And so, I mean, yeah, it seems like Bowman and them are finally starting after kind of being off a little bit. for the first half of the season if they're finally starting to make their strides toward the front.
Absolutely. So what's your take on Kyle Busch getting into the wall early, stage three, making some pre-race comments about, going too fast out there? Hamlin goes around on lap 265, spinning through the infield there. But yet, teammate Martin Truex Jr. goes out there, dominates stage two, and picks up the win for Joe Gibbs Racing.
Oh, man. It's a tricky subject. I mean, I'm kind of glad I'm not the team owner in this right now.
Yeah, I bet the team meeting today probably was a little interesting.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I get where Kyle is coming from, where, you know, it is tough to pass. I mean, if you get stuck where he was through the whole race, you know, he didn't really have a good qualifying spot, like qualified 22nd, and he could only... I mean, he got up there, but he couldn't get up there in the top five and, you know, challenge for the win. And once he got back there from death on back, I mean, it was just really tough to get up there and challenge for the win. So, but, yeah, I mean, it was pretty – I saw the comments on Twitter yesterday after the post race, and I quoted the tweet – and I used the skeleton or the whatever emoji that is, and I was just like, skeleton or death emoji or something like that. And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Well, it took all of 1 week after Chevy and Chase Elliott winning a race for JGR to get back to the victory lane there. Martin Truex Jr. giving Joe Gibbs Racing its seventh win in 11 races, which is quite the dominance there.
Yeah, it's kind of a battle like we seen last year toward the end of the season. Right now, where it's Joe Gibbs or Team Penske, one of those two teams, one of those drivers is going to win the races. And I feel like we're probably going to see that again at Kansas this weekend, where it's either going to be Joe Gibbs or Team Penske. This just kind of seems like they kind of flip-flopped.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you know, you look at the fact that we've got Kansas, Kentucky, and Charlotte coming up. I definitely see the racing taking a little bit of a beating on social media over the next few weeks, just because we kind of know what we're going to get with that. Hope to be wrong there, but, it's a safe bet, I think. Breyer, man, this was a ton of fun. Tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Well, you can follow me on my Twitter account at BreyerStarTV, and then I also have an Instagram page at B_Star18. And then you can always visit my work at SpeedwayMedia.com.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Breyer Starr from Speedway Media for coming on the show tonight. This was fun, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, hope you enjoyed that with Breyer Starr from Speedway Media. It's always awesome talking to young guys in the sport, trying to, get their stuff out there. It's very cool. Enjoyed that. Enjoyed talking with him this week. And love talking trucks, man. You guys know I love the trucks. So this one's going a little long. I apologize about that. So if you haven't put it on 1.5 on the playback, maybe you want to do that now. But things are almost done here. You know, it's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your podcast. All you got to do is search Lap Traffic Podcast. Subscribe, download, and leave a review. There are two giveaways going on right now. I got the first one, the 3,500 followers on Twitter, giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Right around the 100 mark to go on that one. So go tell your friends to follow. And got the awesome Firekeepers Casino, Michigan International Speedway ticket promotion giveaway. Got two pairs of tickets, three autographs of Joey Logano, $100 gift card. Go retweet, all that good stuff. The full rules are on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Just click the giveaway link there. Take you to all the fine details, but it's pretty simple. Giving away stuff and tickets, which is awesome. Come hang out with me Sunday at the Tweet Up, all that good stuff. And speaking of new followers over on Twitter, Boyd at BoydCook9 underscore from California, big Chase Elliott fan. Chad at Chad underscore Giles from Georgia, a Braves and NASCAR fan. Cody at FSG underscore Zoom, a big Kurt Busch fan. Steve at Steve Hudson 55 from Delaware, big fan of NASCAR, Dover Downs, and Team Hendrick. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Stickers and koozies are there. If you want one, go visit the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send you one. Thank you to everyone that supported, tweeted about Autism Awareness Month and supported Freddie the Pizza Man and his 501c3 charity and Yunker Motorsports and all that good stuff. Definitely be doing more stuff with them throughout the year, so stay tuned for that. Go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment. All right, business is done. Let's keep things rolling. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell, who had a very, very busy weekend on social media, on for his weather report. Lap Traffic Nation back for his weekly weather report. He's flying solo this week. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am just fantastic. How's it going?
Going well. I'm actually, as we were sitting here talking, I don't know what Digital Ally is, and it's Digital Ally Weekend at Kansas Speedway.
Could it be like Ally Bank digital form?
Nope. They provide law enforcement agencies with emergency management and commercial companies with the highest quality video solutions and software management, body cameras, in-camera video systems, cloud-based and local solutions. So,
I wonder if that's going to tie to Essex Racing that kind of got hooked up with the Michigan Police Department that sponsors Landon Castle. I know they do a bunch of that kind of stuff. They're donating.
I think it's all very interconnected. But it's, again, it's what, you know, we've talked about on and off for the past couple of years. It's really become a B2B, because this is not something I'm sitting in the stands or sitting here on Saturday night watching a race. Like, oh wow, Digital Ally does what? I'm going to go out and buy some of that.
Yeah.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
But it's good publicity. And guess what? We just talked about them for a minute.
Absolutely. That's hey. I think they got what they wanted.
Yes. They, once again, corporate America wins.
Absolutely. So a very busy weekend for you and Brian, especially on Sunday, trying to keep everyone up to date. First off, last week was a blast with you guys on. That was a lot of fun. So if you guys haven't checked out last week's show with Aaron and Brian Newdorf, go do that.
But I will continue to promote that one.
Absolutely.
I think that might be – maybe, and this isn't diminishing everything else we've done, that might be the second most fun show we've done. The first is the Michigan football preview.
Oh, that was fun. Oh, that's coming back.
Back. No, it's good. Good. I'm just glad I planted that seed.
Yes, absolutely. But anyway, so you guys took a little bit of heat this weekend from the social media people, if you will.
Yes, the trolls were out early. The rain brings them out.
Yes.
And there are some people out there, and I want to specifically call one out because he's a friend. Because I know he was joking.
Okay.
And he's a friend of mine.
Okay.
John Wood.
Okay.
John Wood always has the snarky comment, always has the commentary, but that's the difference, is Brian and I know that John respects us and what we do.
Sure.
So then John's the social media guy and former driver for Wood Brothers 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great guy. Yeah. And I know he's joking, but when people start posting their apps, it's like, stop.
Right.
And what did somebody ask me? I don't know what you're looking at, but my app says this. And I'm like, Well, I'm looking at the 3 kilometer NAM and the HER model, and I'm looking at the 1 kilometer reflectivity and the QPF, and then I'm looking at the SRF 3 hour precipitation probabilities. Oh, I'm sorry. You're looking at an app.
You know what's going to be real nice for you to do in a very short time frame is when that PhD diploma is on the wall, just snap a picture and reply back with that. And
yeah.
Ask them what their qualifications are.
And I'm going to sit there. My profile picture will be me wearing my puffy hat.
I love it. I love it. So what ended up happening this weekend at Dover? You guys called it Monday, actually. Well, you guys a day early. But, you know, trucks, Xfinity, when it's planned. But Cup race, you know.
Not so much. And I'm not even sure why they put them on the track. Have you seen anything about that?
No, I didn't. I would just have to assume they wanted to at least do something for the people that were still in the stands, let them see the cars go around once, almost like a parade lap. I don't know.
We're going to put them automatically under caution.
You know, I mean, to be fair, they had enough time to get the track dry, but they knew what was behind it. They wasted a lot of resources just to be able to get them out on caution laps and not even drop the green flag.
Right. And there was the slimmest of chances, and Brian and I went back and forth on this a little bit, and maybe I was a little bit optimistic. And I actually said, Brian and I talked about that. Maybe I was a little too optimistic, because if that line didn't fill south, it may have just stayed north of the track, but then it's approaching the track and it's starting to fill in. And they might have gotten, if it doesn't fill in, they may have gotten 30 minutes of racing in, but they got zero.
Right.
And but even with that, and I believe it was Jim Utter who had this point, isn't NASCAR only supposed to start a race if you think you can get to an official race? And that would have been 240 laps.
Yeah, that'd have been a minute. And I don't think they were anywhere near having that type of a window in there.
No. And it's just, and you see the people who were there, and you know the people who were there, and just, you know, sitting there, and I'm sure they're just tremendously disappointed. One, you know, you think they're going to start, you rush back in, but then you're also smart enough to check the radar and check, you know, you're following Brian, you're following me. And
sure.
It is just, and I'm getting texts from media in the media center saying, what's going on? Like, you're there.
Right. Yeah. yeah. Well, you know, but, I mean, it's cool. It's good and bad. I mean, that gets you guys some exposure, and it shows that, you know, the
writers
and the teams appreciate the hard work and effort that goes into it.
I want to specifically say that was Chris Knight, and Chris and I are, again,
yes,
somebody else's friends. Chris is a great guy, and I'm not calling him out, because I just thought he's like texting me. I was like, what's going on? I'm like, you're there, but I can give you updates on I can give you updates on the radar real quick. I'll text you.
Right.
And if anybody heard that noise, I am now under a flash flood warning here in Houston. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Stay safe. It's funny. Speaking of flash floods, this is going to be a nice segue. Mick Rose, who, as everyone knows, helps out with the fantasy league, is going to Kansas this weekend. And Mick loves to go to his dirt tracks and text me a picture of a dirt track that's supposed to hold a Sprint Cup race this weekend that is completely underwater. Kansas has taken a hit. But that said, is Mick Rose going to have some fun at Kansas this weekend?
He will. You know, it's the early reports, and everybody's sending me their app early for Kansas. I'm like, people are asking me Saturday what the Kansas forecast is. I'm like, let's get through Dover first. Right. Let's get past this.
Hey, I'm trying to get to the All-Star race already. So.
Yeah. You can explain that one after.
I'll recap that.
Thank you. For the truck race on Friday, and that is also Cup qualifying, the Digital Ally 250, it is a 7:30 start Central. That is 8:30 for you East Coasters. But it'll be worth it. Always got to love some truck racing.
Oh, I love late night truck racing.
Oh, I know. Clearing skies, high of 65, morning low of 43 at race time. Temperatures will be in the upper 50s. Winds should be pretty light. Sunset is 8:17. So that will actually start. That'll actually start, say, at twilight, sunset, and then finish under the lights.
Fantastic.
For the Digital Ally 400, cloudy skies. I'm going to leave a slight chance of evening showers in there. It's been on and off the models, and it's been kind of further away. So I'm not sure it's going to be any particular threat, but I don't want to not include it. She's my double negative. So that's what happens when you get a scientist on the air. High of 67, low of 46. Race time traffic will be busy. Lap traffic will be busy.
Right.
Race time temperature, lower 60s. Again, with an 8:17 sunset, we are going to start under the lights or start under the daytime because it's a 6:30 start local, 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah, so the track will shift.
Conditions
will shift, that's for sure.
One more element of strategy.
Absolutely. Well, sir, pleasure as always. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Look forward to your updates throughout the week, sir.
Sounds good. I hope it's just an easy weekend. We all get to enjoy some racing.
You guys deserve a break after this past weekend.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Always great to talk to Aaron, and Aaron calling me out there because I tagged him in a tweet that said Aaron will be on and have the all-star weather. And he let that stew for a few days before him and Briar were like, aren't we going to Kansas first? My bad. Rushing things along, just little oversight there. Let's keep things rolling, moving right along. You know what that sound means. It is time for the Lucky Dogs. All right, you guys know the drill by now. After the checkered flag drops, you can tweet your picks at LapTrafficPC, or you can call the waiver on hotline 248-965-9538 with your Lucky Dog and Letdown picks from the weekend. All right, my Lucky Dogs. I got a couple of them. I don't normally do more than one, but I got a couple. Lucky Dog, Kyle Larson. Nice solid day. Team needed that. I recognize that they had a good day at the Monster Mile. So I'm giving Kyle Larson my lucky dog, along with Race Weather and Brian Newdorf for their efforts this weekend. And honorable mention to Garth Brooks for rocking the house at US Bank Stadium Friday and Saturday night. That was awesome. My lap down, work, because that pesky little thing gets in the way and I couldn't watch the race live on Monday. Over to your tweeted responses, Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans Lucky Dog. Bowman, such a strong car, thought he'd have a chance at it. Lap down, this package, was looking forward to the race, and wow, that was disappointing. I realize not every race is going to be a thriller, but that was bad. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky Dog, Martin Truex Jr. from back to front. We got a new short track. Ace with his second win on a short track again. Sir, you are going to cause some controversy calling a mile a short track race, man. You better watch out. Lap down rain. Enough said. 10-4 there. Ethan at QMS underscore E-Kings. Lucky Dog, HMS back-to-back. Two strong showings, especially with Bowman. Strong all day, and Byron working his way back up through the field. Lap down, those who can't stop finding something to complain about. Not every race is going to produce a photo finish. Sir, we are NASCAR fans. That is what we want. No, I'm just kidding. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog. Bowman, this guy will win. Yes, he will. Lap down, Kyle Busch crying about the package at the track. Never heard a champion whine like he does. David at DFlint14's Lucky Dog, Team Hendrick, all four in the top 14, showing speed all weekend. A lap down, Newman, two laps down with 15 to go, highest running car on his lap, pleads with his spotter to get Reagan out of the way when he's never moved out of the way for lead lap cars. Sir, you pretty much summed that one up. That's all I got to say there. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mix, Lucky Dog. Country House on winning the Derby after crossing the finishing line. Second lap down, racing on Monday. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's Lucky Dog Bowman really starting to flex his muscles in that 88 Chevy Camaro. Another stellar second place performance. A lap down, Denny Hamlin. Miles the Monster won that battle. Clayton at Joy Logano Fan 22's Lucky Dog Larson getting his first top five of the season. Great to see him up top. Hope he can keep running good. Lap down, Hamlin finishing 21st and having problems all day. Not a good day for the 11 team. And John at Dean Ader, Lucky Dog, the number four millennial car. That thing is lit. Watch out, Chloe Yunker. It's lit. Lap down, those drivers that got bit by Miles, hashtag 17 and 11. All right, that is the tweeted responses. Let's get to the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen. I just got back to the hotel after the race on Monday. It was my first time at Dover, and I really liked it. I would definitely go back. It maybe wasn't the most exciting race. The cars were pretty spread out, but it seemed to me that if you could get to one, you were able to pass. I saw plenty of passes for position, so that was good. Otherwise, one other notable thing that I did see, it seemed like the Hendrick cars did really good. They were running up front quite a bit. Three of them finished in the top 10, and even the 48 had been running up there as well. So that's, you know, I seems like they're trending on the upswing finally after a little bit of a drought. And I'm going to give my lucky dog this week to Kyle Larson because he finally had a foo-free race. And not only that, he got a great P3 finish out of that. So good for him. I bet it feels really good. And I'm sure Mick is happy. I couldn't really think of a lap down. I haven't been on Twitter much today, so I haven't been influenced by any negativity that may be floating around there. The only thing is that maybe Mother Nature has to get it for raining us out yesterday on Sunday. Though I guess I'm glad that they didn't start the race. I think I'm more satisfied that we at least got to see a whole complete race today as opposed to a rain shortened race yesterday or like part of the race run on Sunday, but not enough to make it a final, you know, past halfway and then having the second half run today. So at least we got a nice day today and we saw a whole complete race out of it. So otherwise, I had a really good time at the track, and again, I would definitely go back. I had a great seat up in turn four for all three races, and I think that was the perfect spot. Anywho, I'm hungry. I have some fried chicken waiting, so that's all I've got for now. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in, sharing your first experience at Dover. That's awesome. So awesome to hear that. And yeah, hey, the weather definitely can get the lap down. I am totally with you, though, as far as when they were to start the race. You know, Aaron and I talked about that a little bit a little while ago in terms of, you know, should they really try to start that knowing they probably weren't going to get to at least a halfway? And that is definitely a bummer, starting and stopping throughout the day and then having to finish, you know. So, like, I'm with you there. You know, you saw the race start to finish, even though it was on Monday there. All right. Mr. Andrew Kansian forgot to call in. I am going to give him some serious flack on Twitter for that one. Everyone, that is going to do it for the Lucky Dogs this week. Don't forget to tweet your picks. Call the Wave Around Hotline. Be a part of the show. It's what I like. All right. It is time to wrap this thing up with some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. There are only three races to go in segment one, and things are still pretty close, which is fantastic. Two players swept the weekend, picking Martin Truex Jr., Christopher Bell, and Johnny Sauter, Chloe Yunker, and David James. Chloe, where you been all year, girl? Lots of players picked Sauter and Bell, but only seven took Martin Truex Jr. Week high, 167 points by Chloe and David. Yeah, Chloe, it's nice to see you show up finally. You dominated all last year. Nice to hear your name mentioned. Second place this week was 163 by Robert Riggs, who had Larson, Bell, and Sauter. And we got a new season high this week. It was 161 by Jeff Legg and Evan Van Beelen at Atlanta, but it is now 167, like I said, by Chloe and David. So nice job there, guys. My picks of Enfinger, John Hunter Nemechek, and Kyle Busch at least got me triple digits, 107, but it doesn't really matter where I'm at. So I digress. Over to the top 10. New leader back up top the leaderboard, actually, with a 1,138 points is Robert Kepplinger. My uncle Matt has fallen back to second, 8 points back with 1,130. Greg Whited in third with 1,129. Brett Garns is in fourth with 1,120. Jess Rose is in fifth with 1,096. And the MOATF podcast has fallen to sixth, 1,094. And I am still waiting for their answer to my challenge to kick off segment two with them coming on the show for the picks. Just saying. Ted Anderson is in seventh with 1093. John Entwistle in eighth with 1083. David James in ninth with 1060. And Michael Elliott wraps out the top 10 with 1048. And I had talked to Rob. Things were looking good, but unfortunately, he's not going to be able to call in, so I'll just have to tell him over the airways here that my uncle picked him as the lucky dog and lapped down this week. So, Rob Kepplinger, you have been lucky dogged and lapped down there. So, nice job there. In lieu of Robert Kepplinger, we do have Mr. Mick Rose. A Lapped Traffic Nation joining me on the line. He is the deputy of the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League, Mr. Mick Rose. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Excellent, excellent.
Fantastic. Welcome back on. Glad you're able to call in lieu of Rob Kepplinger, who has stolen the lead, as my uncle has called it, back in first place with an 8-point lead there, sir. What'd you think of the racing this past weekend at the Monster Mile?
I thought it was all right. I mean, it wasn't the most spectacular race, but I still say with this new rules package, we need more tire fall off for it, you know, but that's just maybe a personal preference.
100%. I'm with you. I'm with you, sir. Matt, you know, I don't want to call attention to this too badly, but you've fallen outside of the top 10 there, sir. So the representation of the Lap Traffic podcast is no more in the top 10.
Yeah, the Denny Hamlin pick was not a good one. I needed oxygen after the race, and so did he.
Mick, you and I need to run 1-2 for segment two for a little bit, just to let people know that we know what we're doing a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty confident until we got to the Cup race, and then it went downhill quick.
It went downhill from there. Sir, what do you say? You are headed to Kansas. I know you are excited about that. I hope you have a blast. Aaron Studwell has said the weather's looking pretty good for you guys. So hopefully this rain will clear out for you and you guys are able to have a good time.
Well, I'm just waiting for it to clear out, and I'll head up there Thursday night and be looking forward to it.
Fantastic, sir. What do you say we make some picks before you head on out?
That sounds great.
All right. Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed to Kansas, back to the Midwest. We're also going back to a mile and a half, so no surprise, the past few winners of those are to be expected at the mile and a half track, like Kansas. The last six races, well, five of them have been won by either Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, or Martin Truex Jr. I guess these guys are good or something, I'm not sure. But who is our most recent winner at Kansas? Oh, that would be Mr. Chase from the same place. He won the fall race at Kansas last year. He is also coming off a win and a top five, so watch out for Chase Elliott. But watch out for our winner this past weekend at Dover. Martin Truex Jr. has four top fives and 2 wins in the last few races at Kansas. And call me crazy, but Kyle Larson's got a pair of top fives at Kansas from last year, and he's coming off his best race of this year at Dover. Maybe he can keep the momentum going. I know Mick Rose would like to see that. Who takes home the checker Saturday night? Well, we're going to have to wait till Saturday to find out. Right now, it is time for our picks. Mick, what do you got for the truck race?
I'm going with Stuart Friesen.
Ooh, I like that pick. Little outside the box, but doing pretty good. I like that one. I'm going to roll with Mr. Ben Rhodes, see if he can crack and get his first win in 2019. No Xfinity race for a couple weeks, so, sir, let's jump over to the Cup side. Who do you got?
I'm going with Joey Logano.
Joey Logano. Very nice. I like that. I'm going with Eric Almirola. Someone at Stewart Haas has to get it going. Why not the number 10? Man, those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Mick, thank you so much for calling in, and have a blast this weekend, sir.
Oh, I will. There's no better place than being at the track.
Amen to that, sir. All right, man. Have a good one. Be safe, and talk to you soon.
Out.
See ya. Very cool of Mick Rose to call in. Mick, your picks are safe because we didn't have any that matched up there. So you should be all right because it seems every pick I pick has just been an absolute failure. So I almost feel bad for the guys I do pick because I'm almost, it's like a guaranteed jinx almost. Not that that's my intention. And definitely plan on a better showing in segment 2. That's for damn sure. If you're new to the show and want to join, you can get in for the start of segment 2. Go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy. Scroll down to the rules and how to enter and all that kind of good stuff if you want to get in for segment 2 and the segment 2 prizes there. That will be open here after the All-Star – or I'm sorry, after the Charlotte race to start segment 2. Man, this one was a ton of fun. That is going to do it for episode 125 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Don't forget about the contest. 2 huge giveaways going on. Got the diecast once 3,500 followers on Twitter. And got the MIS prize pack with tickets and autographs and lap traffic gear and all that good stuff. Big thanks to Briar Starr from Speedway Media for coming on, Aaron Studwell and Mick Rose for calling in. Next week from NBC, Dustin Long's going to be on the show making his lap traffic debut. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!